Hello, I'm Georgina Robinson.
And I'm Tom Deason.
Welcome to the Rugby World Cup Daily. Coming to you from Japan every day throughout the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
G'day, rugby fans, listeners, how are you? My name's Tom Deason. I am joined with my colleague Georgina Robinson. How many days are we now, G, apart from each other? How are we dealing? Where are you at the moment? What's doing?
I'm halfway up a mountain in Beppu. I'm overlooking the Pacific Ocean with huge green mountains all around me. You know, it's a really amazingly beautiful part of the world, Tommy. This is where England are based. It's sort of probably a 45-minute drive from Oita over the range. Oita is also on the sea, but England have chosen a beautiful spot. I dipped my toes in the Pacific. I can report that it's mild up here. It's certainly not turned cold yet up here in the Northern Hemisphere, the ocean water. Everyone seems to be really enjoying it. The England camp are in a great mood, 4 days out from a must-win quarterfinal.
We must just get in really quickly as well. We do apologise for no podcast last night. Number of factors, me getting roused on by the lady next to me in the little hotel, not even a hotel, I wouldn't even call it that, just a traditional Japanese house in Odawara was rousing up me at about 11 o'clock for doing the podcast. Didn't work outside in the rain, so major apologies to our listeners. We're back on deck. So.
Very good. That was a comedy of errors. I think we made about 5 attempts between poor Wi-Fi connection and an officious Japanese hostess. It was officially a disaster, and we had so much to talk about. We shouldn't let it from stopping us talk about what on earth's going on inside the Wallabies camp at the moment. But first, I think I should tell you about Ricky Stewart's first day in England. Camp.
Sticky Ricky. What was he doing?
Having a great old time, Tommy. And wouldn't you be a week after the grand final, you're in a foreign land on the other side of the world or the other end of the world, yucking it up with a whole bunch of other Australians. I tell you what, it's literally the Australian invasion in the England camp. It's quite bizarre. There's not only Ricky Stewart, he's brought two of his Raiders chiefs with him, Nigel Ashley-Jones and Matt Ford, who are kind of part of the football department and athletic performance department. So they're here on one of these sort of sightseeing, reconnaissance, learning and engagement missions. They only arrived today, that's Tuesday, here in Japan, and went straight to training in the sun, like on a hill overlooking the ocean. It was pretty beautiful. They tried not to give the waiting media any vision opportunities, but I do think one very savvy Australian photographer, Stuart Walmsley, played the waiting game to a T. I think he almost had to be kind of wrestled out of there, but did get the money shot of Ricky and Eddie having a good old laugh at training. So I think I did a count. I know I did a count. That takes to 6 the number of Australians inside the England camp, which is kind of bizarre, you've got to admit, in a quarterfinal where the two teams take each other on. And we talked to a few of the players and staff about that today. Of course, none of them could see it was strange or had a problem with it. There's Aussies everywhere. So between Eddie, Stewart, Eddie, Scott and Neil, and then these Raiders guys, there are a lot of Aussie accents in the England team room, which was kind of cool, kind of gratifying.
He's also had, I mean, Andrew Johns came in 2016 in that infamous series, Jason Riles as well. I've interviewed him maybe on a 2016 spring tour. He was doing some work as well. So Eddie and the Aussie flavour still very much there.
Craig Bellamy came in to talk to the team during their pre-World Cup camp this year. And they were saying that John Mitchell was saying that Ben Teo actually, apart from, like, you know, hanging around the team, observing sessions, just, you know, having meals with guys, they did a setup in the team room where Ben Teo actually interviewed Bellamy, and apparently that just went down a treat. They were kind of asking about, you know, obviously Bentillo's the hasn't made the World Cup squad, but was an England player and sort of a Kiwi raised Australian Australian kind of footy educated through in the NRL, and apparently there were just lots of questions about how you handle the personalities of guys like Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, you know, all of those guys, and they were really drawing into those kind of insights. And then apparently also one of Bellamy's big takeaways was that enjoyment is key in a team environment to getting the best out of guys. Without that, you don't have much. So that was really cool. And as for it being a bit of a strange thing, I also asked Eddie, when did you arrange this? You know, was this a post confirmation of it being Australia England quarterfinal? And they said no, it was arranged 4 weeks ago. So that kind of puts to bed to a certain extent some of the conspiracy theories about Eddie, you know, going to great lengths to unsettle Australia. But then again, I guess it was realistically only ever going to be Wales or Australia. So does it put it to bed? I don't know. But he, you know, he had that, as you said, he had that history with Glenn Ella as well, which I think really did unsettle Michael Checker, because Glenn is obviously not only an Australian, but an old Randwick stablemate. And I like this one because, you know, Checker's always touting his league connections. And, you know, in his history with the Wallabies, he's used a couple of league plays, and you know, this is kind of Ricky Stewart's league royalty, really. So I'm just loving it. I'm loving Camp England.
And everyone, there's a lot of fanfare. You know, James Haskell wrote a column for the Daily Mail, which is quite interesting. Some stuff with Check and Eddie, and it's always build up, right? You know, we've covered six of them all up since the World Cup, and it was funny. Some of the English journos came to the press conference on Monday and asked, could they get Michael Checker? And the media manager sort of was a bit up in the air. And then who walks in? Michael Checker on a Monday, which obviously doesn't usually happen in a test week. So I think their eyes lit up and thought, oh, wow, we're going to have Check, you know, fire off some shots at Eddie, you know, given what he'd said after the Georgia game that, oh, Eddie thinks they've had the best preparation, they should win. He was very reserved, dead batted a few questions, said their relationship was fine, but I mean, obviously did mention that he thought it was a fraction weird that, you know, Ricky, more for the players as well, that Ricky would be in camp on a reasonably big game.
And you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only sensible option Michael Checker can take at this point. When you are none from six against England, there is no point upping the gamesmanship, you know, and sparring with the coach. I'm actually surprised we've gotten as much out of him as we have. That first one about, you know, I saw he said the typhoon gods were smiling on them, so they'd better win, hadn't they? Like, that was great. That kicked it off. And but I do think he's going to be pretty considered and circumspect as much as our glorious Michael Checker can be. As for the rest of the players in the Wallabies camp, tell me about the last couple of days, Tommy. You've had a game of two halves with the Wallabies so far here.
Absolutely. Well, it is Tuesday here. We had Christian Leilifano up today and a few others, and they were very, very polite and, you know, shook our hands before the press conference and gave some good stuff. Christian just talking about him being managed, and a few others. Marika Corabetti, you know, also talking about the fact that he's worked on his agility and acceleration. So I've written about that for Wednesday's paper. But, yeah, I mean, there was an interesting press conference the day before after Michael Checker and Nick White with Luke Ansala, Kai Loto, Tolu Latu and Adam Coleman. And, you know, the three of them come together. They look disinterested and uninterested. And there was a few of the English journos who asked them about Michael Checker, just trying to dig a bit deeper into his character, and sort of he's portrayed as the villain sometimes, you know, rightly or wrongly. And there is obviously, you know, much more to him than that persona that sometimes is you know, perpetuated in the media and for whatever reason in the public, and they were just asked a little bit about it. Didn't really give long answers, and then they started giggling, and I think that sort of pricked some of the English guys' interest and just said, oh, what are you laughing about? Is it a stupid question? And then, you know, Tolu Latu, of all people, comes across and basically says, yeah, mate, it is a stupid question, and we're going to laugh at you, and we'll throw it back in your face, or words to that effect, if you do say something stupid. And it just changed the whole tone of a press conference, and was quite sour thereafter. And then even something like I asked Lucan as well why he believed the Wallabies could beat England, and it was, he just didn't take the question particularly well. Said, of course we're going to, you know, of course we think we can win, we're not going to stand up here and say we're not going to. And then asked me, you know, not trying to make myself a story, of course no one wants to, but, you know, put it on me. And I said I wasn't sure, and he didn't like that and said, oh, well, that's
asked all. Asked you what, if you believed they could...
Yeah.
Beat England.
Yeah. Words to the effect of, well, what do you think? And I just said, I'm not sure. And it was more to the fact that I hadn't made up my mind. And I don't think anyone could argue the Wallabies are favourites. And he just said, oh, well, you know, that's your problem, blah, blah, blah. But it got a bit of traction. Look, I was there in the room, and I stand by everything that was written and reported, and the English guys were a bit confused. And I think it just paints a bigger picture of perhaps the us against them mentality, which everyone knows is a thing. You know, Czech's talked about it before. It's nothing new, but this was just something you don't see every Monday at a press conference. Three guys, you know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, for me, first of all, that's Tolu Latu, Lou Khan, Salakai Loto, and Adam Coleman are basically the three Wallabies enforcers, right? So they've probably been given a rev up. They've got a job to do this week against England. You know, we all kind of gave them pretty rough reviews after the Georgia game. So, you know, maybe that had been raised. We don't want to give ourselves too much credit in the media, of course. But, you know, if Michael Czech is looking for ammunition, maybe guys have seen a few of those headlines and match reports and analysis pieces. The other thing I think that kind of highlights, I don't know if our listeners, you guys are aware of this, is there's this really funny dynamic sometimes between journalists and players or coaches that you're interviewing, in that as a reporter, you go in, you might have an idea of a story you're going to write, or a sort of a theme you want to play on, and so you have to ask questions of players and coaches that will kind of elicit an answer, and often, or a reaction. I don't mean like, you know, a scandalous reaction or anything like that, but I can imagine that, you know, you're going to write in your mind, Tommy, is a piece about, you know, the Wallabies are underdogs, but obviously are full of belief. So let's do something. I need to hear from them about why they think they can pull off the upset.
Precisely.
You know, yeah. So you ask that, and all of a sudden the players go, well, you know, WTF, why is he going there? Like, isn't Captain obvious? I mean, of course we believe it. And I think so. And often, like, I've had conversations with players and coaches over the years where your message is basically, don't judge me on my questions, judge me on what I write. Happy to be, I mean, that's the product I put out there, happy to be judged on that, and happy for you to call me out on that, but try and wait till you see where I'm going with a line of questioning, you know. But I also understand that sometimes they're sick of basic questions, or I can see how they see it as well. But I've had so many awkward exchanges with players because I'm not going to. It's almost like if you ask a question, like, why do you believe you can beat England? They take that as, you don't think I can. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and whether or not we do or not is irrelevant, because we want to find out their opinion, and we're not, you know, writing, you know, they're obviously underdogs, but that, you know, that was the nature of my question to Lucan. I can understand the other side of the coin where they would rather in a big week like this not say a whole lot and shut up shop, and they're not used to, you know, getting asked questions by media from a lot of different countries. I do understand all of that, but when a guy like Adam Coleman, who answered a few questions but was dead batting a lot of stuff, gets asked what's his favourite Australia-England moment, sporting moment and then just says words to the effect of, I don't have one specifically. Like, and then you sit there with an awkward silence after that and you go, okay, right, like, okay, cool, we're going to have to keep prodding. Or you're not prodding, but just try and get something, you know, for our readers. Yeah. And the rugby people who, you know, read our content and are excited by the Wallabies being in a quarter final, but makes it a fraction harder.
Yeah, a bit shortchanged by responses like that. I mean, sure, they want to let it play out on the field, but we've got 7 days worth of coverage to put together before then, so you're going to have to suffer through some pretty boring and potentially startling, maybe even offensive questions. Hang in there, folks. It's funny, I was at obviously covering England on Tuesday, and they put a number of guys up, but they do these things called writers' briefings where you kind of have the cameras out for a little while, and then all of the print writers go into a room with a player, and you kind of get a bit, you get sort of, it's sort of an opportunity, an environment without cameras and sort of a few less journos to have a more relaxed chat and potentially get some more thoughtful comments out. And they brought Joe Marler out, the prop, who basically, you know, well, who retired, had a mare in 2015, was penalised out of the World Cup and in the intervening years retired, but has also risen from the ashes like a phoenix and you know, is now a critical part of the England forward pack. And he was, I mean, contrasting it with some Wallabies forwards in a sour mood. Marler was in a great mood. Lots of banter with the journalists and lots of great reflection. But I think that also comes with age and maturity. It's like, you know, Kristen Lilifano and Matt Tamua, Will Genia, guys like that are often, you know, they know the deal, and they're often kind of a more relaxed interview.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we praise them, they love it. And when we don't, they don't. So you can't take, you know, you've got to take it both ways at times. But
listeners, look, we just put ourselves out there for you. We endure many tense interviews and many fraught moments and confrontational conversations just to bring you the very best of rugby coverage.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a tough job, Tommy, but someone has to do it. It's lucky we get to do it in some exotic locations.
Absolutely. It's about the 20-minute mark. Anything else, G, before we wrap up?
20 minutes. It's always a pleasure. Just pretty excited about seeing teams named. What are you feeling? I'm on the Christian Lilifano bandwagon. I feel like he's the only sensible option for the selectors, the only likely one. What are you thinking, hearing, feeling, seeing, Tommy?
Oh, just reading between the lines. Yeah, I think he'll play 10. I'll go back to O'Connor at 13. Not that they didn't against Georgia, but, you know, not picking Tevita. And on the wing, I think they'll go for Dane Haylett-Petty with Kirtley at the back, provided he gets through his HIA. It'll be tomorrow or Thursday, possibly, with Kirtley. So that'll be a watching brief. But the Wallabies may name their team Wednesday, may name it Thursday. Not telling us. So likely Thursday, but fun and games.
Well, and you're coming to Beppu on Wednesday, so we'll be back.
Yep, we will be back together. It'll be a treat. How good.
It will be. And the audio quality will be infinitely better. Thank you, everyone, for hanging in with us. We hope we are giving you something of value every day or most days here at the Rugby World Cup. We're certainly having a blast, and, you know, the rugby's been top-notch, and now that we're in knockout week, I reckon it's only going to get better. So thanks, everyone, and we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Sayonara.